Okay, can you hear me? Okay, I feel like everybody, we all need to like get our wiggles out. Okay, I'm so excited to be up here tonight. It's been a while since I've read my own work. I've been really focused on the Lefty Blondie Press and all of the amazing things we're getting to do in the Pittsburgh area and nationally. So thanks to Joan and Chris for inviting me to read with a spectacular lineup of authors. As I was reading the bios, I noticed we represent poetry, fiction, and nonfiction tonight. And it got me thinking about the line, and this is debatable if there is one, between fictional characters and the speakers in poems. And how I seem to be writing a life story that is a little bit mine, of course, but many I've not lived but like to imagine. So anyway, that's what guided my poem choices this evening. So we'll see how they fit together. Some are in my chapbook, All Else Falls to Shadow, and some are in my yet-to-be-published full length. So I forgot to start my timer. Okay. Believers Assembly. My mother knew hell as an address on earth, a street with a room where she used to live. Once on Easter Sunday, she played first witness to the resurrection. At some silent cue, she leapt from the wooden pew with her message, "Praise Jesus." Mary Magdalene took over my mother. Her tongue trilled and hummed with the Holy Spirit. Hum de la hum. Beautiful, these women made weak by the world. My mother, full of Mary, was fierce. She walked the aisle, delivering the good news, tears streaming down her face. He has risen. We sang Old Rugged Cross while Pastor Shackelford laid hands on the sick, reminded us how Jesus needs to be invited in. How she'd learned, hum de la hum, she would never tell me. Don't need that anymore. Jesus cast out her seven demons. Later, she anointed his filthy feet, calloused and cracked with the amber oil of muskroot, washed the dust from them with her hair, wiped them clean. I have seen the Lord, she shouted, in that sanctuary, his empty tomb. So, being raised Pentecostal, I'm definitely interested in sort of what drives people towards religion or just, trying on different things in a way to sort of find a higher plane. So this actually comes from a writer's almanac from June 24th, 2011, called St. Vitus Dance, 1374. And I had never heard of it before I had heard this writer's almanac. So the title comes from that, and the rest is mine. Some experienced aversions to the color red and to pointy-toed shoes. It started with a hum. Unchecked, it spread. Sometimes whole hamlets for days, then months, danced until death or broken and no longer able to flap or leap, rear and buck. Alms were collected, musicians paid to mellow and soothe the dancers. Soon, their chairs were abandoned. Wood and strings of beloved instruments trampled and twisted. Musicians joined up in the jigs. Prayers went up to St. Vitus. Hum de la hum, please take back this frantic curse. After prayers, exorcisms, solitary confinement. She kept to classics, swirling, well-practiced circles, pausing only to adjust her headdress, tear off her binding. when her heart seized up, her hands flocked to her chest. The dancers kept dancing. Then they stopped. Researchers say economic hardship, ergot poisoning, cults, mass hysteria. But what of the bent cobbler pushing his cart from town to town, humming his peculiar, catchy little tune? What of the pointy red shoes, little devil's pitchforks? She could not dance from her feet. Thank you. I've also been writing a lot of self-portraits as. I feel like it's a way for me to deal with gender and other issues I don't necessarily know how to tackle directly. So, self-portrait is Noah. When the rain came, I had been dry for weeks. When the land became an ocean to lift my boat, I just wanted to relax with a nice bottle of red. Just a taste to help ignore the mewling, moaning, and stomping, that damn zebra who ate the oleander. My thirst, an ocean to drown out the pounding, the pleading after I secured the door. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So another thing I write a lot about is motherhood. And actually, my daughter's in the back. Hi, Eleanor. Yay! I think it's really important to bring your kids to things like this, so. But these next two poems are sort of in direct opposition of one another, and that's one of the things I love that poetry gets to do, is each poem can directly contradict each other and still be in the same book and live in the same world. Grind. Waxy shades of purple streak yellow construction paper. She grins up at me. I ooh la la. I slide pasta into boiling water. I place our warped wooden spoon across the pot. I wait. I have things to do. Droplets polka dot my open notebook. Her fat hands work to seize my pen, my paper. Her artwork is sovereign, too sprawling for one yellow sheet, too vibrant for the tincture of crayons. She takes what she needs. I have forgotten. At lunch, secure in her high chair, she forks rotini into her mouth. Her budding teeth scissor with soft twists. Olive oil and saliva glisten down her chin. She laughs through her mouthful of pasta. She does as she pleases. I try to use my teeth for something other than grinding against themselves. I try to accept this time as enough. I gobble noodles, scribble notes, make funny faces until her pixie giggle rings around us. How much longer until anything else? She throws all she can reach to the floor. Went off, so I don't know how I'm doing on time. So two more, and then I'm out of here. All right, in bad taste. But worse than politics on Thanksgiving, that cranberry tone of self-righteousness matching my aunt's third glass of Merlot, or that neighbor from three doors down, this year's pity feed, yammering loudly, sweet potatoes or yams, gas or electric, Steelers or Ravens, cloth or paper. Arrives joy, unabashed, showing up on this page meant for tough, salty mouthfuls. I bliss in the jubilation of clean laundry folded, put away neatly, pumpkin roll baking in the oven, that rare November sunlight illuminating what's left of the fiery leaves. But as if detailing my perineum tear or comparing cesarean scars and how much giving birth fucking hurts, while my sister-in-law opens saccharine gifts at her first baby shower. My small stakes elation is met with silence. But for the scrape of silverware across great grandma's china as creamed corn is pushed under the dark meat. Okay. Sunday morning flannel sheets. Excuse me, Saturday morning flannel sheets. I don't know what day of the week it is. Okay. Because I say the exact wrong thing, my daughter is sobbing. I don't want to grow up. I don't want you to die. I don't want to die. She's 5. Her tongue jimmies, her first tooth loose from its warm bottom gum. This necessary severing can't come without a little wiggle and push, a little blood. I snuggle my little girl, knowing this is a memory we are tooling. Let it nestle. I tell her someday she won't want this, to cuddle with me under warm flannel on a chilly Saturday morning. It's the exact wrong thing, but it's the tug we remember. Her tears, like loose milk teeth, like my own necessary blood, like someday her own. Thank you.